I'm Steve McLeod, and you are listening to The Community Lounge, the podcast where community managers from the video games industry tell their story, talk about the challenges they face, and share tips to help other community managers do their job better. Today's guest is Jeremy Felding, currently working at Stunlock Studios on V Rising. We chat about how you learn to be a community manager and what the upward career path can look like for community managers. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Tell me briefly what you're currently doing at Stunlock.
Currently, I work as a community manager. I've been doing that for about 3 years now. I also worked for them a few years before that in like 2018 as a Discord manager. So that was like a part-time gig. So overall, this is like my full experience in the game dev industry. So I have about 4 years total.
Okay, what games or game are you working on at the moment?
When I was a Discord manager, I worked on Battlerite and Battlerite Royale. For this one, I'm working on V Rising. And I also work on Battlerite a little bit, just like to keep things maintained. But our primary project is V Rising right now.
Now I want to hear the background story. V Rising is this big Swedish, huge, mega success story. But you're not Swedish. You told me earlier you're from Florida.
Yes.
Tell me how it happened. How did you end up getting into community management and going from Florida to Sweden?
I mentioned like I was a Discord manager back in 2018. That was because a little bit before that, in like 2016, I started running tournaments for this game called Battlerite, which was like a offshoot of a game that I loved back in 2012. And was like amazed that it had popped back up. Its spiritual successor had like been made. And I was really excited about that. So I got really involved in the community. I was a moderator in like every Twitch stream for people who were streaming that game. They were kind of like my people for a little while. And I started running tournaments for North America because I got scooped up by like a Rocket League org that wanted to get into doing tournaments for this game. And my experience with that led to me getting to know some people at Stunlock because it was a Stunlock Studios game. And eventually they needed someone to run their Discord. They reached out to me because I didn't seem too crazy. And I did that for them for a little while. And then when they stopped active production on Battlerite, I ended up getting laid off. And a few years later, I was kind of looking for CM positions because I thought, you know, I got like a little taste of it. And I was like, you know, this is kind of like, this seems like something I'm actually really good at. And, you know, when you find that thing, it suddenly becomes like an obsession. So I was just trying to work my way into the game dev biz, which was very hard. And then out of nowhere, the marketing director for Stunlock reached out to me and said like, hey, like we're looking for a community manager for our next game. Would you be interested in applying? So I did. And then like a little while later, they ended up getting back to me and interviewing me. And, you know, I went through like a whole long process, took like a couple months. And then finally they said they want to hire me. And, that's how I ended up getting picked up by Stunlock. And when I did, I said, like, hey, I really, just letting you know, I would like to move to Sweden. Like, I don't want to be here in America. I would like to be moved out there. So eventually, after they decided I was a good fit, they decided to move me out.
Okay, so you actually set that as the condition, not them.
Yeah, no, they were totally fine with having me in the U.S.
Wow, that's so cool.
I worked fine remote. And it was kind of cool having someone in that time zone, you know, and if they need someone to go to like shows in North America, it would be convenient to have me over there. But I really wanted to be in the studio. It's actually really hard to do what you do as a CM, I think, well, without having a lot of close contact with the devs.
You know, it's an industry that is embracing remote to some degree, but I think in person, it's hard to beat for some of the advantages, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, when you're, you know, we're both adults, we're grown-ups, and we, you know, it's really hard to, like, meet people and connect with people when you're an adult because you have so much to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always just trying to keep your life in order. It's so much work. And you don't have a lot of spare time to just socialize and reach out to people unless you have, like, a specific reason to do it. So as a community manager, I think it's, like, really important that you know your game really well, and you know your devs really well, and you know how they think and like why they're doing the things they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Because it, I view it as primarily my job to communicate to the devs what the players think and the players what the devs are thinking, like to be that bridge of communication, to make it so everyone understands each other, right?
And you can't do that completely unless you're sometimes having lunch together and maybe doing something after work. Yeah. I don't know. In Sweden, is there a culture of after work drinks?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, you know, just the casual conversation leads to a much better understanding. Sorry for putting words in your mouth.
No, but you're totally right. And in Sweden especially, actually, they have this thing called fika, which is like a sort of coffee break. And it happens, like at Stunlock, we do it every day at 9:30 and 3.
Okay. So tell me about fika.
Okay, so you come to work at 8. At 9:30, we like do a little sort of bell ring in Slack. Everybody gets together in like a big room upstairs, and we all sit down in like this big like lunchroom slash lounge slash, you know, whatever. And we all hang out and just talk for like 15, 20 minutes, have coffee, like a little snack of some kind, usually like a sandwich or like a pastry or something. And you just like have a small snack, talk, get your caffeine, go back to work, you know, have lunch at noon. Then, you know, you come back from lunch, you work for a little bit longer. Then we have fika again at 3, where we all get together and we just chill for like another 15, 20 minutes. And then you go back to work, you finish out your day and you leave. And these like little times you spend together, you get to like talk about stuff. And a lot of times, like, you know, you're thinking about work because it's the middle of the day. So you'll sit there and maybe you need a break from work and you just need to talk about something else. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time you're just like, hey, here's this thing I'm working on, or I'm thinking about this, or like I'm having this problem, and you talk to your coworkers about it. And it's like really nice. Like I learned so much about like how we think about game design and like what we're working on and what we're thinking about. And if I'm remote, like, you don't get to spend these fika breaks with them, like you, or lunch, like, you know, you're remote. And like lunch today and lunch a lot of days, actually, I eat with like the game designers, and we're talking about like concepts of game design and like how we think about like making games. And I think this is, if I wasn't doing this, I would have such a much poorer understanding of like how we go about things. I'd be so much worse at communicating with our players.
That's great. Thank you. Tell me, your Stunlock is based in, I think that's the company that's based in this really small Swedish city where lots of games come from. Is
yeah,
that right?
Hovda.
Say it again.
Hovda.
Hovda. Oh, well, you're learning some Swedish.
Yeah, you could never guess how it's spelled. It's like S-K-O with weird dots over it, a V-D-E. Hovda.
And how is it living in Hovda?
It's nice. It's like really nice. It's like a tiny walkable city. I walk to work, which is something I could never do in the U.S. I walk everywhere. I get my groceries, everything. I haven't driven a car in like a year and a half at least, which is amazing. I didn't realize how much I hated driving until I didn't have to do it anymore. It's just really nice. And it's got a really nice game dev culture here. We just had Swedish Game Conference last week. And that was really nice, where, you know, a bunch of people came to our town and, like, did talks. And, like, I did a panel with some of the community managers from Iron Gate and Coffee Stain. And that was really nice. It's a great little town with a great little game dev culture.
So Iron Gate and Coffee Stain are both in the same town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I was at Nordic Game earlier this year, and I talked to somebody who's involved in the business side of running a hub or an incubator there, and I just I couldn't believe this whole story about how a whole games industry has come to be in a city of maybe, was it like 50,000, 100,000 people? And
yeah, 50,000.
Surrounded by
forests and
lakes.
I can actually see the incubator from my window. Like, I can see it from here. Okay. It's It, like I said, it's a really small town. There's this place called the Science Park that we're in that is like, it's us, it's Palindrome. We're working on like a Legend of the Five Rings thing. There's Frame Break, who made Lightyear Frontier, which just came out, was really good. They just moved out of here, but they were here for like a long time. Every time I walk down to like the cafeteria, I see like a million game devs from a million other studios, and it's really nice.
Let's move on to the topic of being a community manager in general. So as I was, one of the reasons I've made this podcast is that I actually found it really hard to find good information on the internet about how to be a community manager, how to do it better, how to learn. So where do you go to learn how to do it better? Where did you go when you first got the job? How did you learn how to do this job properly?
I'm glad you... Someone asked me this at SGC recently, actually. Like, a student, like, walked up to me because I was representing Stunlock in, like, the career fair. And, like, a student walked up to me. He's like, so, like, what would you do to, like, learn how to do your job? Like, he's like, what would you recommend that I check out? And I was like, oh, God, dude, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. It's just, like, my whole life I've been like really interested in like psychology and people and how they think and like how communities form, like, because it's just human psychology on like a higher level of like a bunch of humans interacting with each other and like why they do the things they do and how they interact with each other. Like, I find it so fascinating. Other people's perspectives especially, like, are so unique and so interesting, and the ability to comprehend that another person can look at the same sentence you look at and derive a completely different meaning from it just because they have different experiences and different, and they just relate words in different ways and get different feelings just from reading different words, is like so fascinating to me. And I think that interest is part of why I learned to be good at what I do, which is something I was not comfortable saying until sort of recently after I'd been doing this job for a year or two and realized, like, oh, man, like, this is a skill. Uh-huh. I had no idea.
It's really nice that you've come to accept that about yourself. I think it's too easy to have that negative idea of what we're doing, but
yeah, I think in game dev, imposter syndrome is really, really common because you really do never feel like you know what you're doing. But I think that's just like adulthood in general, like, is realizing, like, oh, none of us have any idea what we're doing, and it's just learning to not stress about having to improv something because you realize, like, oh, yeah, I've had to learn how to do my taxes. I can figure this out too, you know, but it's like that with every single thing in your life.
I think one day after you've been doing the same thing for a few years, one day you just realize, oh, I actually know what I'm doing. And especially when you see people new to the job and you see them making mistakes that you know you've made, and you realize, oh, they're going through that phase I went through long ago.
Yeah. And but you also know at the same time that there are so many things that will crop up that you know you will not know how to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just like, there's going to be an infinite number of ways for whatever I'm doing to go wrong, and I'm just going to have to figure it out. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Like,
so far about resources that help you learn to do your job better as a community manager, we've listed zero. We've listed that it was really hard.
I would say that, like, it's just doing it. Because it really is just that. Like, you really just need to, I don't know, like, if you find yourself in a space and you see people getting into an argument about something that you think is really dumb because you understand what they're both saying, but they're both just talking past each other, and you feel the urge to step in and be like, no, look, he's just saying this, he's saying this, you guys need to, like, listen to each other. If you find yourself needing to do that, then you have the building blocks to be a community manager, because that's a lot of what it is. It's not like moderating people necessarily, but when you are moderating people, you're building the skills necessary to understand communication. And that's really what it's all about, is just like understanding how people communicate with each other and sort of practicing that and learning to be understood, learning to be patient, and learning how to make people understand each other.
Okay, great answer. So do you have any memorable positive moments as a community manager? Any story or experience that particularly stands out to you where you've really thought, I'm glad I'm doing this job?
I mean, yeah. There are lots of moments where I'm just like, I can't believe this is my job, you know? Where it's like I have to kind of stop and so one moment, it wasn't with community members or anything, but I had a moment fairly recently where I was walking home and I was talking to someone and I stopped and I was like, oh yeah, I get paid to do this. Like, I forgot that I get paid. Like, I am lucky enough to be in a position where I make enough money that I don't have to really worry about, you know, money. Like, because living in Quivta is also super cheap. Like, compared to what I was in Fort Lauderdale, I remember what it's like to live in Fort Lauderdale and have no money and always be worried about money. And I realized at some point that I wasn't worried about money, and I'm also just doing this because I love doing it. Like, I'm not thinking about, like, I got to do this because I need to eat. Like, I'm thinking about this, like, I need to do this because, like, I really want our game to succeed, and I want people to be happy, and, like, I want everyone to understand each other and everything to go as good as possible. And, like, I love having a part in that. And when I realized that I was doing it for those reasons, like, that really struck me.
That's so nice. I guess there are many, many young adults or college students or even high school students who would look at what you're doing. I mean, it's their dream to work in the games industry, right, for a lot of people. And a lot of people realize once they get there that it's not quite what they imagined it being. So it's so nice that you're actually happy and you feel you've got a good job situation. Yeah. That's really nice.
Thank you. I mean, it is easy to burn out. I'm lucky because my company, like, cares about that. They're very good about trying to give me time if I work a lot of hours, because there are, you know, there have been weeks where I'm working like 70 hours, you know, because I there's a lot to do. And when you're in the marketing side especially, you'll go through just phases where it's just like there is so much to do and it all has to be done right now. Like, there's no, time is finite. And tomorrow will be completely different than today. Like, when it comes to marketing, things need to happen at that moment very often. There's no, like, pushing it off till next week. So sometimes you have to work some crazy hours. But my company is very good about, you know, giving you those hours back, encouraging you to take time off, trying to get you to be like, you know, if it doesn't have to be crazy, they really try to respect your time and be wary of burnout. And also, you know, we just feel that, like, if you're happy, you do better work. And also, we're human beings and more than our work. So, you know, should have some sort of balance with that.
Do you think that's an unusual attitude for a company to have in the video games industry?
In games especially, yeah. Okay. I think in Sweden it's more common in general with all companies. But when it comes to games, like, even in Sweden, it kind of melts in a little bit, that culture of, like, overwork. And because it's, like, a passionate field, right? And in pretty much any part of the games industry, like, if you're a programmer or something like that, you could be working any other job than this one and be making, like, 2 to 3 times your salary because, like, you know, a game studio can only afford to pay you so much. And, like, in the, like, tech industry, like, you can make so much money. But if you're passionate about making games, you're making games. And that often means grossly overworking yourself because you just have – you can – there's never – you're never really finished, you know? Yeah. Like a painting. Like, you can just keep painting until because it's just done when you say it's done, and that's it.
Hey, listeners, a short interruption. When I'm not hosting the Community Lounge, I run Feature Upvote, a platform for managing player feedback. When you use Feature Upvote, your players can submit and upvote suggestions to improve your game in a single place. This gives you the data you need to develop a game that meets player expectations. And you can say goodbye to the confusion of trying to keep up with feedback scattered across discussions on Discord and Steam and Reddit. Learn more at featureupvote.com.
Yeah, there's really never a shortage of things to do as a community manager. It's like a very interesting position because it's a lot of soft skills type of stuff. And also it's a very fluid, like, what work there is to do is very fluid. And it is just like whatever you decide you have time to do. And at the same time as a CM, because your work is very fluid a lot of the time, you'll also pick up lots of little jobs. Like, someone's like, do you have time for this? And you can usually say, yeah, like, I can do that. If I cut a little time off of this, I can make time to do that. So you'll end, everybody is strapped for time. So you end up picking up lots of little jobs. Also because as a community manager, you have a sort of wide variety of skills. Like, you're good at writing, you're good at communication, you're usually knowledgeable about a lot of little things. Like, you have your fingers sort of, like, in every little bit of the studio because you have to know what everyone's doing to be able to talk about it. You know, and often you'll have a lot of, like, tertiary skills related to those things. Like, I do a lot of writing on our game. I do a lot of... Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea that a community manager can... be given that opportunity to be involved in writing for the game.
That sort of thing can happen pretty often because we do a lot of like copywriting and stuff like that. So a lot of times we also have interest in like narrative stuff, or we, you know, we do marketing stuff, like all sorts of little jobs in marketing, from like copywriting to, you know, other things. Just like I do a little bit of writing on like the trailers and stuff like that when we have like narrative parts of the trailers, or if we're just talking about the wording or like giving feedback on stuff, or just, you know, help just like forming our, you know, like campaigns and stuff like that. Like we do a lot of little things. And then, you know, there's a lot of little stuff with, like, social media and the billion things to do with social media. You know, creating media for that involves, like, you know, Photoshop skills and, like, working media players and, like whatchamacallit, like video editors and things like that. Like, the lots of, like, little things that you might want to ask someone from the art department to do. Like, a lot of times we just sort of do all that stuff ourselves.
Sure.
And how much you lean into which aspect of that often defines what sort of community manager you end up being, which mostly ends up being whatever your studio happens to need.
Well, this actually leads to a nice question we discussed briefly before we started recording. Where do you go upwards as a community manager when you're learning a little bit of everything? Mm-hmm. What job do you go into? Is there a senior community manager? Some games
sometimes
have them,
yeah.
But then like director of community, I is a sub position I've seen very seldom.
Yeah, it's really so like at bigger studios that have like tons of community managers, or if there's like publishers and stuff, sometimes handle the community parts of like their smaller studios. Like you might have like a head of community. Like, I think they do that at, like, Paradox. Like, Paradox has, like, a trillion community managers that are all managed by, like, a head of community. And they have, like, a bunch of tiers of community manager. But, like, at my studio, for instance, there is no... The position directly above me is marketing director. We don't have any other
community managers. Which is quite a different set of skills and a different job responsibility.
Yeah, it's completely different. Our whole marketing team is kind of set up and with, like, different skills with, like, mild overlap in some places.
Does a head of community actually do day-to-day community stuff, or are they more a manager, which is a completely different set of skills too?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, I don't know.
you haven't been there yet.
Well, also just, like, community manager is such an ill-defined role in general. Like, what I do is so different from what someone at Paradox does. I think, so, at SGC, we had a community manager like panel. It was like me and Mikael from Coffee Stain from working on Satisfactory, and Josefina, who works at Iron Gate on Valheim. And we both have all three of us have like completely different jobs. Like we have some overlap in that we are all interfacing with the community, but like Mikael does like more of a sort of like he makes like YouTube videos and he does a lot of production, like he's producing content that they share, and that's like the style of community management they have. Whereas Josefina is more of like a comms director sort of role, it seems like, and like I'm more like hands-on sort of like direct communication sort of thing. And like we all have our completely different styles, and like if each of us were to take a head position, like I don't know what that would look like. Like our positions now look so different that I don't know what a more advanced position of that necessarily looks like for any of us, right? And so, like, I did a lot of research on, like, where community managers tend to go. And it is, like, if there's a head of communications position, sometimes they'll go to that. Sometimes they go and become producers because the producers do a lot of sort of communication between departments and like organizing people and getting them to talk to each other and communicate what they need, because that's sort of like what they do, and that is very similar to what we do.
Just almost like the managing the internal community, where the community are the employees.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like they're like the internal community manager, when the community manager is like the external version of that, in like very broad strokes. And then sometimes you just go into general management positions, like, you know, some sort of like administrator of some kind, or because it's like managing people, it kind of makes sense. Or some of them go into HR, I think. It's basically, and some of them go into like game design or something. Like they just find they're really good with game design, they just end up there. So It's really hard to say. If you could go, like, because we have our fingers kind of in everything, we can kind of get pulled in anywhere. Or you could just end up being, like, marketing and just be, like, a marketing director or something like that.
And I think even if one day you're a community manager has had enough of working in the games industry, they've still got skills that will give them a whole lot of other career paths outside of the games industry, which could be anything.
Yeah, I hope so. just because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. It's like a very volatile situation right now in our industry. I'm lucky because I think I'm in like a pretty safe position compared to a lot of people. But yeah,
tell me about V Rising, the game you're currently mostly working on. What will you be doing next? This is in your community manager role for V Rising.
Well,
that you're allowed to mention.
That I'm allowed to mention. Right now, I don't know when this is going to air, but right now I'm working on a dev blog. You know, it's been a while since we went to kind of a 1.0 and we've been kind of quiet for a while. So it's really nice to have, like, you know, yesterday I sat down and we did, like, with the creative director, and, like, we went through sort of point by point, like, what sort of features we have and what we're going to be doing next. So I'm going to organize that into something digestible and put out something like that relatively soon. So I'm working on that, you know, announcements about our upcoming, like, Halloween events. We're doing an art competition, which is always really fun, has a great turnout. So I'm working on, like, that. So that's what I'm working on right now. But, you know, we're probably not donating, like, content stuff till maybe, like, next year. So right now, you know, we're in, like, a little bit of a lull communication-wise.
Nice. Enjoy it while it lasts. Enjoy the relaxing time while it lasts.
It's not enjoyable.
Really?
No. When we're in a lull, it's kind of like I feel bad because, you know, people keep asking me for stuff, and I'm just like, I can't say anything. But sharing stuff is super fun. When we finally get to that part gets, like, really exciting. It's hard work, but it's, like, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, it's one of the good parts about the job, right? Is bringing good news to people
you get to see them excited about the stuff that you've been, like, working on and talking about, and getting to see everything grow, and then when it actually happens, you're like, oh, it's so nice.
So I think a lot of people work in the games industry. They spend all day making games, and then they go home and play games. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes I go home and I just lay around and watch super trashy TV. But a lot of the time, whenever I can, I play games.
So what are you playing at the moment?
I jump a lot between, like, tabletop RPGs, like, you know, D&D, and I've actually been training.
You mean, like, real life, in person with friends, tabletop RPGs?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I play, like, on Discord with people, too. But I've been straying away from D&D into, like, more obscure games, so I'm not going to get too into that. But there's this, on Steam, I've been playing Shogun Showdown. Okay. It's, like, really fun, like, little 2D, like, almost like a strategy roguelike. And you, like, get, like, a random set of skills, and you have to, like, work your way through these, like, waves of enemies. And it's just a really satisfying game. Like, you whenever you get hit or you take damage or something, it's like, okay, that was my fault. Like, you feel that. And every time you get hit, you're just like, you know, if I had a thought one more move ahead, I should have seen that coming. So I don't feel bad when I lose. When I lose, I'm just like, okay, like, I can just do better next time. And I've been really addicted to that.
So this is a question I'm asking at the end of every episode, is what I just asked you, what game have you been playing? You might like to know that the last guest, when I asked him what game have you been playing lately, his answer was V Rising.
Oh, really?
He mentioned that he plays it with his skill friend together, and that I think they were talking about V Rising. Does V Rising have, like, an end to the game?
Yeah,
and I think that he said his girlfriend enjoys the game so much that she doesn't want to keep playing because she doesn't want it to end. She wants to still think there's a game ahead of her to play.
Oh, that's really warms my heart, because game devs, we have so little time. and our game is so long, man. So when I hear that other game devs are playing my game, it, like, makes me really happy, because I'm like, I know how little time you have. So the fact that you're spending your time doing our thing makes me, I don't know, it makes me really happy.
I think that's a really positive note that we can end the discussion on. So thank you very much for being here again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was really nice.
And where can listeners get in touch if they'd like to know more about what we've discussed today, if they'd like to know more about being a community manager or other things?
Oh, yeah. You can email me. I'm jeremyf@stunlockstudios.com. Okay. I usually answer any emails there. I'm also at Jeremy Bearson on Twitter. I'm Bearemy, B-E-A-R-E-M-Y on Discord, and you can just add me. I don't care.
Okay, I can put all three of those are okay to go in the show notes.
Yeah, go for it.
Great. All right. Okay. Bye, Jeremy.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.